It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do every time here on this segment, we welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
Good, Rocco. Thanks.
Fantastic to hear. Hope you're staying warm, as it has gotten cold in a hurry here in northern Ohio, much to the dismay of many of us. But nonetheless, here to talk on the Local Beat. So, hey, one of the big stories this week, maybe the biggest story of the week, this new esports hub being talked about for downtown Elyria. This was mentioned in the Chronicle Telegram early this week, and kind of, you know, starting to build a little bit of hype around this, again, esports hub that should be coming soon to downtown Elyria. So what can you tell us about this whole project, Dave?
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting project that's come along. Developer Kevin Flanagan is calling it transformative. And basically, esports, which, you know, sort of the long and short of that is competitive video gaming, if you will. You know, competitive online games, competitive video games, competitive, you know, PC, you know, computer-based games. Are very popular, and there are colleges and universities that have that have teams. And what Mr. Flanagan is looking to do is build something called Forge 417 or Forge 417, located in the Dixon and Robinson buildings on Broad Street in downtown Elyria, hoping to open up in 2023, and then along with a multi-level apartment complex in 2024. There was a presentation this week, and Mr. Flanagan said, the vision was kind of, started with his Foundry Kitchen and Bar, in which he's a partner. And then some other things happened, including the Uncle Vic's fire in downtown Elyria. And they were hoping basically to turn some of the buildings into, commercial buildings and apartment buildings. And now this has given a chance, and there had to have been some sort of feasibility study. I know you and I spoke a little bit before we were on air about a study, and there had to be some sort of feasibility study that was done.
Yeah.
To determine that this is something that people want. And I think, kids and young people and people of all ages probably, are very excited about video games. People love video games. They love, love interactive gaming. And they love competitive sports, and that's, you kind of take video games and you take competitive sports, merge them together. There's your esports. So city council, Mayor Whitfield, Mayor Frank Whitfield, basically said, that they were very excited about the possibility of this coming to downtown Elyria. Hopefully, pull some people in, to downtown, get some more other businesses benefiting from people walking around or visiting downtown. There's also supposed to be a restaurant attached, and maybe maybe the possibility of some production, getting this out on television, getting these things out live streamed,
yeah,
and out on the airwaves. Who knows? Who can say? But that's the very early plan for this is this esports forum, this gaming center. Hopefully to bring some youth to downtown Elyria.
And I think it certainly will. I mean, you think about the pandemic and how it's all sort of kept us distanced from one another, a little less so as we start to, get vaccines and boosters and all of that. But throughout the course of the early stages of this pandemic, online competitive video gaming is something that stayed fairly strong because it was just a socially distanced thing. And if you go on YouTube and look at a clip or a couple clips of some of these big e-sport tournaments, I mean, they get huge. They sell out basketball gyms and arenas and all kinds of different stadiums and venues. Just to watch people play Fortnite or League of Legends or, name your video game, there's probably an eSport league for it. So this is a very interesting project that I think can certainly take downtown Elyria and start pushing it in the right direction. So good stuff there. The other story I wanted to talk about here with you this morning, Dave, talking about the Lorain County Commissioners, a new year for them, 2022. And it looks like Matt Lundy, the Democratic commissioner there, will kind of lead the charge with two other Republicans there. So what's the kind of the dynamic with this one?
Yeah, so this was something that happened on Monday morning. Commissioner Michelle Hung, who is a Republican, nominated Commissioner Lundy, who is a Democrat, as president of the board. And Lundy voted for himself, and the vote was 2-1 with Republican Commissioner David Moore voting against Lundy being president of the board. Commissioner Moore had also nominated himself for president, but neither Commissioner Hung, who is his fellow Republican, nor Commissioner Lundy, the Democrat, supported him. So Commissioner Lundy will be the president of the Board of Commissioners, a largely ceremonial position, but at times that position can be one of strength and a little bit of power, where you can basically kind of guide how the meeting how the meeting goes, determine sort of some of the smaller rules and regulations. The board has always held to Robert's Rules of Order as the rules governing its meetings, or has for a very, very long time. So it's not like he'll just he'll have all the power in the world, but it is unique that that the Republican majority is now governed by the Democratic minority. Mm-hmm. When it comes to president or vice presidency of the board. So that was an interesting difference. And it got a little bit more traction from the leaders of the Lorain County Republican Party and the Lorain County Democratic Party. Lorain County Republican Party Chairman David Arredondo said he was disappointed that, quote, Commissioners Hung and Lundy teamed up to elect Mr. Lundy as chairman of the commission. Mr. Arredondo called for Lorain County to get, quote, back on track with responsible conservative governance expected when they elected two Republicans to the commission in 2020. In response, Lorain County Democratic Party Chairman Anthony Giardini said the Republican track record over the past year is not a good one, and the Republicans, quote, ought to worry about the two they already elected, unquote, and basically said that every major appointment made by Hung and Moore this year has been a failure. The county is now its third administrator within a year, and there have been multiple controversies under the Republicans. That's according to Mr. Giardini, and as he said, and as I've spoken about in the past, just reading the headlines of the Chronicle Telegram over the last 12 months can tell you that that not all is necessarily well in county government.
Yeah, I was just about to say there's plenty of context, I think, that's kind of led to all of this happening, and you laid a good amount of it out right there. And, of course, you can check back through the Chronicle Telegram. I mean, that top 10 thing you guys put together a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago or whatever that was, or whenever that was, I should say, that kind of, again, will give you some context as to why what's happening with the county commissioners is right now. So, again, there's the update on that. Great stuff from you, Dave. Dave O'Brien, our guest here on The Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. All right, Dave, speaking of the Chronicle Telegram, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Well, we're going to have some stories in this morning's Chronicle Telegram, some follow-up to some Elyria City Council committee meetings that took place this week, also some news from ODOT, doing some paving in Avon Lake this coming summer. Also, Avon Lake is seeking a grant to help clean up its old power plant site after that building is eventually demolished. Both of those stories from my colleague Dylan Reynolds, and some more business stories. Some news out of Wellington from my colleague Jason Hawk. He'll be reporting on some items down there. So a lot of good stuff in the Chronicle Telegram in the print edition, as well as at ChronicleT.com.
Well, things happening all over Lorain County. And you heard the man, folks. Pick up a copy of the Chronicle Telegram, or you can head on over to ChronicleT.com for that digital online e-edition, e-sports e-edition. It's all e-something on this week's Local Beat. All right, Dave, that brings us to the end here and my favorite part of the week. Who are we picking on this week's Scanner Story?
Well, we're going to go a little west here. Go west, young men. To southern Illinois. Deadline Carbondale, Illinois. Carbondale Fire requested you check an oven that was left on with a pizza in it due to the occupants being otherwise arrested.
Could you imagine that conversation sitting in the county jail? Hey, did you take the pizza out of the oven? No, did you take it out of the oven? Oh, no. And then, boom, now you got yourself a blackened Totino's pizza. That's and a charge, maybe, depending on how that all works out. Oh, boy, not good stuff. Not good. Dave, entertaining Scanner Story, as always, and a great look and insight into what's happening around Lorain County. Again, check out the Chronicle Telegram. Pick up a copy today or head online to ChronicleT.com for that digital e-edition. Dave, Dave, great stuff this week as always, man. I appreciate your time. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. We'll talk to you later.